This is Law Enforcement Leadership with Dr. Jack Enter. For over 40 years, Jack has trained law enforcement officers all over the world and has learned some valuable lessons that he's passing on to you. For more information about Jack's speaking schedule, go to jackenter.com. Okay, Jack, so we've been talking about this, the fact that management's been failing and always has, and that there are certain factors involved in improving and really being effective in leadership. And in our last recording, our last podcast, we discussed the fact that that there are three different kind of categories of employees. There's those that are the exceptional ones, they're really, really good, and they don't take a whole lot of direction. They just go. Then you've got the ones at the bottom, the problem employees, and they will almost always be the problem employees. And then in the middle there is, it's the largest part of your organization. It's those in the middle, and they really are the ones that test the health of the organization. They really are the ones that define how good your leadership actually is in the organization. So now we talked some about the fact that these issues of management and leadership, it goes all the way up the chain, and we're always fighting it. We're always dealing with this, and that people who actually start to try to practice good leadership often don't because they're going to get in trouble, because as they start dealing with issues, they'll get in trouble. And so that kind of leads to the question, like, why? What would motivate somebody to actually want to practice good leadership? How do we change? How do we deal with these issues? Because basically the question is this: is there any hope? Is there any hope that this can change?
Well, first off, what we're going to see is that there is hope, but we have to implement. Remember, I want to just remind people, we talked about the ineffective culture of American society. And that we take men and women out of that ineffective culture, and they become effective law enforcement people. Why? Because of training, through modeling, because their perception, they take the crown off their head and say, really, this is not about me. Third, people around them hold them accountable, and they fear good men and women. They fear not doing their job. So, and this is what should give us all hope. It hit me as I prepared for this podcast that everybody knows leadership. So this isn't rocket science. This isn't some complicated thing. That it's that we know this, but the main reason we don't practice is because we don't see we're not practicing it. And remember, when I ask managers in the class who all love leadership training, I said, why are most managers failing? They all go to they. 99% of them use the pronoun they, so the number one reason that managers fail, but also the number one way that we can succeed as leaders, is we see that we're doing the same thing, that we see that we take ownership for this. And when that's done, it's simply, think about that word simply, applying the other principles we all know. Communication. I've been doing leadership training for 35 years. I've never had anybody come up in a class and go, I never thought about communicating with people. That's amazing. They all know this. It is they don't have the courage or the belief that they're part of the problem to follow through on it. So here's why I have hope that the people listening to this can be leaders. A major police department, let me start with this, stories. A major police department asked me to give them some interview questions to ask three captains going up for the chief's job. This is a big agency, well over 1,000 people. And they said, obviously, that we have to do oral interviews of these three candidates And then they asked me one of the most interesting questions I think I've ever been asked. They said, give us some questions that show who the best person is. Because when it comes down to it, it's all about character, humility, caring for your people. So give us some three questions that we can ask. And I gave them three questions, and let's go through them real quickly. The first one is, ask a person what's wrong with them. What is this a test of? Their humility. That they see that I can be an idiot. I have a temper. I don't follow through. What's interesting is every time I asked that question, the most common response I got was, please repeat the question. That obviously they're stalling for time, but what that also showed is they don't know what their weaknesses are. And think about that. A 35-year-old man or a 45-year-old woman has no idea what's wrong with them. Now, if you ask them what's wrong with other people, they can go on forever. But that was the first question. What's wrong with you? And I asked that. And that was always, very few people could answer that question, which is really scary. Number two, what are you doing about these? And why I asked that question and why I wanted them to ask that question, to see if the person took ownership for it. If they said, well, I can lose my temper, but it's hard being surrounded by idiots all day. What they were basically saying, it's not my fault. So they're not taking ownership, and without ownership, they're not going to change. But the third one was the most important question and really is the solution of how to become a leader. The third question is, name three people who hold you accountable for these weaknesses. And I want you to think about this for a minute. If you're doing the third question, if you are surrounded by men and women who speak truth to you, you know what the answer to the first and second question are. You know what the answer is to the first one. Here's my weaknesses. Why do you know your weaknesses? And let me say this. The number one reason we fail is because we believe what our mind tells us. And our mind is always self-favoring. I love Solomon's quote, every person is justified in their own mind. That basically when I look at myself, I give myself the benefit of the doubt. But when I look at other people, I judge them by their actions. But I judge myself by my motives. That's a modern quote that's, to me, a summary of what Solomon said. Every person's justified in their own mind. And so here's the point that, why the third question allows you to lead. That if we do this, and this is what makes operational level effective, it is surrounded by men and women who speak truth to you. Ignorance is bliss, but it's not the truth. And people speak truth to you. They go, hey, why are you getting upset at this? And all good cops and deputies know you intervene when a guy next to you who's normally pretty good is not having a good day and begins to go off on an inmate or a person you pull on the side of the road, and you go, time out here, guy. And you take him aside and you say, why don't you let me handle this? You're clearly not doing this right. And what happens is we become our brothers and sisters' keeper. But don't forget this. When we get promoted, we lose that accountability. So the question is, we all know what to do. Leadership is not, again, rocket science. We all know we should communicate. Look at the number one and number two issue of complaint against law enforcement management. Number one, they don't hold people accountable. They don't deal with problems. Okay? Now, this is from a culture that operationally always did that, always dealt with issues, always dealt with domestic violence, always dealt with drunk drivers. That's the first one. Number two is they don't communicate. Well, everybody knows you're supposed to communicate, but why don't we? Because we're afraid. But, so what's the solution? You have three or four men and women in their lives, in your life, that speak truth to you and make you follow through on what you know you should do. What we're talking about, if you think about it in its essence, is a squad of Marines in Afghanistan, or a 82nd Airborne Unit in Syria, or wherever. We all are brave when men and women that we love and respect around us call us out and make us do what we should do. So let's think about how this impacts us. One, perception. The number one thing that makes us effective is when we get over ourselves. we take off the crown. The only way I will do that is when I have men and women knocking it off of me and saying, this is not about you. You're taking this too personal. You have a temper. Don't say, I'm just honest with people. No, you're belligerent, obnoxious, and unkind with people. But what happens is men and women around us, remember now, we see everybody else accurately. We don't see ourselves accurately. So we use this tool to surround ourselves with people who are the only, we're not going to see ourselves accurately, but men and women around us will speak truth to us because they see us unbiasedly. They go, well, why is this a big deal? Why is he not following through? So let's talk about that. Why the third question is so important is that is how you lead. You surround yourself with men and women who knock the crown off your head. And what's the most powerful form of training? It is in modeling. And when you surround yourself with men and women who are just as incompetent at this thing called leadership as you are, because they're afraid, but when you get together, you give each other courage, and you together force each other. And you got to remember this, when I'm having to deal with an issue, I'm never objective. But I see when you're dealing with a problem, you're not being objective. So what we do is we get collectively together, and when one of us is being stupid, the other three people call them out and say, well, that's kind of stupid. And we force them to do. And let's take the number one and number two complaint against law enforcement. Number one problem that people say managers are causing in the law enforcement culture is they don't deal with the problem employee. They don't deal with issues. So how do you do this? You get three people in your life that go, you need to deal with this problem. And by tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you will go confront them. And you will do this. And all of the people probably listening to this have found the wisdom. And it's interesting, Solomon said, with a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. That all of us have had, that we've had people edit what we wrote. And they go, why did you say this? And so, why didn't say that? And they say, no, look at this. We don't see how we come across. We don't see what we wrote. What we thought we wrote was not what we wrote. And that's why it's very important to have people proof your material. But we need to have people proof our decisions. And plus, they make us follow through. And so that's how you become a leader. You basically surround yourself with men and women who force you to lead about things we all know we should do. That's why the military is so effective in leadership. And they have men and women who've never darkened the door of a college or university who lead consistently. Why? Because they're surrounded by the men and women that they were taught to lead, and they're constantly being retaught to lead by accountability. Number two, communication. Here's a good example. And it's interesting. The number one recommendation that I give when I do presentations is a sergeant who listed all of his employees, and every week he communicated with them. But it was very interesting that I had people come up 5 years later and say, you remember that illustration you used about the sergeant who wrote everybody's names down? And I said, yeah. They said, I tried that. It didn't work for me. And I said, why not? They said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. Think about that for a minute. They didn't know what that looked like. But here's my point. How do we learn what to say? We go with other people, and that's the advantage of the three people in your life or four or whatever. You pick up their skills, and especially if you surround yourself with a man or woman who's a good communicator, guess what will happen? You'll become a better communicator because you watch them do it. What is the most powerful form of training? Modeling. And we all know this stuff, but when we surround ourselves with people who bring gifts to us that we don't normally possess, guess what happens? We develop these gifts as well. And we develop these new ruts of behavior through the company of men and women around us who care for us, speak truth to us. And what they do is they give us tools. And together, this is very important, together we develop these tools because we're not afraid, because I'm not doing this by myself. So training how we train ourselves to be a leader is we never attempt it alone. We attempt it with other men and women who are just as scared, just as coming out of an unskilled past of watching ineffective managers, but together we can do this. Accountability. Let me tell you, if you want to deal with a problem employee, all you have to do is say if I called you and I said, hey, Jess, I need to ask my wife for forgiveness for something I said, or I need to deal with a problem with a friend that you know. And so here's what I want you to do. You call me tomorrow and ask me how I did it go. Why am I going to follow through? Because I know you're going to, and I forced you to ask me how did it go, which also means I'm asking you to hold me accountable if I don't do it. And you know what I'll do? I'll actually do it, and I'll ask for forgiveness, and I'll deal with the problem. Why? Because of fear of man. You remember what Solomon said? The fear of man brings a snare. He was insinuating it makes us not do what we should do, but the fear of good men and women makes us follow through and do what we should do. The third thing is we're always going to be buffeted. We're going to be hit. We're going to be thrown under the bus for leading in a culture that has no leadership legacy. But in the company of three men and women, one, we made a good decision because we vetted it through them, and we know this was the right thing. And when you have three people or four people stand in front of you and say, but this is the right thing, this is the right thing, but I don't want to do that. It doesn't matter if you want to do it. It's the right thing. You need to deal with this problem. When you get hit, you have 100% confidence that what you did was right. But more importantly, you have men and women around you who will go, yeah, you got hit, but it was for doing the right thing. I had a guy used to tell me, he said, your mama would be proud of you. Mama would be proud of you. You're in deep trouble. The boss is so mad at you, but you did the right thing. And it is in that environment that we conquer fear by fearing good men and women. We're trained by men and women around us. We're held accountable by men and women around us, and we hold them accountable. And guess what happens? It humbles us because we're constantly reminding each other, you're not a king. You're not a queen. You're not the judge. Take off the robe, put down the gavel, step up off the bench. You don't know. Why don't you ask questions before you make a decision? I've actually been called off of disciplining people by other men and women. They go, you're taking this too personal. And on a 1 to 10 scale, this is really a 2, and you're making it an 8. So I would suggest you overlook it. They protected me from making an emotionally based decision. And this is the power of repetition. We keep having men and women force us to do it. And you know what happens? Before long, we become leaders because we now develop deep ruts of new behavior that practice. It worked in the operational level. Now it's happening in the management level. And, you know, it is interesting, and I'm always fascinated by this, that if you get a bunch of ineffective people together who want to succeed and hold each other accountable, they will become ineffective. So, you remember we mentioned this, ineffective people create what for the future? Ineffective people. Effective people create what for the future? Effective people. But we see a modification of that. Ineffective people together who want to be effective, become effective people. And that, again, history has shown that. When you have people in your life who speak truth to you, because pride always gives us a distorted view of how we're doing. And no one, let me say this, I've never seen a leader that was rejected by the men and women they supervise, that they were never rejected because of their humility. Because when we come alongside people, because we see our own weaknesses and we're trying to help another person with a weakness, we will listen. But pride is poison for leadership. And the only way we will deal with our pride, and the only way when we hear something about a leadership technique, instead of saying they, we go, we all do this wrong. We all need to hear this. When we do that, we will begin to change. But as long as you think the problem's outside yourself, and that's why really the most important thing, I think, of the three people or four people speaking truth to you, they make you humble. And I want to say this. If you don't humble yourself, your enemies will do it for you. But if your friends do it, you'll be amazing. And that's how we do it. That's what made the operational level, that we spoke truth to each other at the operational level. We were mentored by people who spoke truth to us. When you become a manager, you lose that. And the way we do our job as managers is we have men and women forcing us to do it. And after a while, through repetition, through developing those deep ruts, we become leaders. But we can never not have men and women speaking truth to us. Many great lieutenants and great captains became terrible chiefs. Why? Because they started forgetting this and believe what their mind told them, and other people who wanted to be manipulators, they listened to this. Not, it wasn't the truth. They said, you're a chief, you can do whatever you want to, but we need to always have men and women in our lives. And I want to remind the people out there that have a grudge against their bosses and a grudge against their supervisor managers. We all do this. And the higher up you go, the more prone the men and women around us, even who care for us, will not speak truth to us. And it's a disaster, because we begin to believe what our mind tells us, and our mind is always self-favoring. And one thing I tell my class, I said, if there's nothing else you get out of this class, this is what I want you to get out of this class. Don't trust your opinion of yourself. It is not accurate. It is not true. And you're living delusionally if you believe what your mind tells you. And that's the importance of having people in your life who speak truth to you.
Thank you for listening to Law Enforcement Leadership once again with Dr. Jack Enter. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue to discuss the issues facing leadership and how to overcome them. You can listen on Spotify, Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Be sure to check out jackenter.com to order his books or to find information about Jack's speaking schedule. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.